This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. Now again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. You can contact me if you would like to make comments on the program or if you'd like to leave prayer requests. The website has this program on it and you can re-listen to it there or download it there if you would like. And it also has a weekly meditation on it that you can read there. So if you want the mailing address or the website address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we've been working our way through Luke chapter 8, and we have noted that in Luke chapter 8, the Lord was bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of God to the area around the Sea of Galilee, and the 12 were with him, and so they were really being mentored by him as he proved himself to be the Son of God, and as he spread the good tidings that he was the Messiah, and that in fact the Lord had visited his people Israel. Now, after he has freed the demoniac from the demon that had controlled him, he has told that demoniac, we talked last time about this, to return, he says, to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. And so now the Lord returns to the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where our story picks up in Luke 8, chapter 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there was a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched or stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace." And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." And when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, for she is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat or food. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now you'll notice that with regard to the demoniac, he was told to go back to his house and tell everybody what great things God had done for him. But with regard to the maid who had been raised from the dead, they were to tell no man what was done. And I've often wondered what the difference is, because it would seem to me like it would be awfully hard for you not to say that the Lord Jesus raised my daughter from the dead. Now, I suspect that the difference was that in the first case, he was leaving the area, and so the man could testify of the Lord Jesus, and the testimony could be handled through one who believed in him. And in testifying of the Lord Jesus, the Lord would be still free to travel in another area, and he wouldn't be so thronged by the multitudes that he couldn't preach the gospel of the kingdom. In the second case, he would be staying in the area, and if these people had had told what had happened to the daughter, the Lord would have been so thronged by people that it would have been difficult for him to carry out his mission, and he really didn't need the testimony of others when he himself was going to be there preaching himself. They had the Lord himself. But there would have been people looking for miracles that would not have ever came looking for the Lord for the right reason if this had been told at this time. So I think that might be the difference. In one case, the Lord was leaving. In the other case, the Lord was staying. And when the Lord was staying, I think telling this would have hindered his own ministry, because it's the Lord that we point people to. And when you've got the Lord himself, you really don't need people getting in the way of the work that he's doing. Now, as we look at this passage, we can see that the woman who needed a miracle had had a problem for 12 years, and the daughter that needed to be healed was 12 years old. And so the Lord links this in our mind with that number 12. 12 is usually considered the number of administration, 12 tribes of Israel, for example. So when we look at this, there seems to be a link there, but I'm not going to be able to tell you what the Lord is really trying to say with the number 12, other than that he's linking those two things together in our minds. And I'm sure there's meaning there that if you study it out, will be helpful to you. But I myself have thought about it many years, and I'm not just sure if the number 12 teaches us something or just draws our attention to the two incidents so that we link them together in our mind. One of the incidents has to do with Jairus, who was ruler of the synagogue, and I suspect Jairus was a true worshiper of Jehovah, and I suspect that he had really believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and he needed a miracle because his only daughter, who was about 12 years of age, lay dying, and men couldn't help him. They probably didn't have penicillin and all of that in those days. Well, we know they didn't have all those medicines in that day. And he knew that his hope lay in the Lord Jesus. And I think he had faith in the Lord Jesus. And because the daughter is referred to as sleeping, I'm guessing that even this daughter had faith in the Lord Jesus. Because at 12 years old, she would have known the difference between right and wrong. And I believe that when it says she was sleeping, that's a reference to the fact that she was, as the Bible says, dead in Christ. Not dead in sin, but dead to sin. And we're one or the other. We're either dead in sin, sin has control of us, or we're dead to sin, sin is no longer our master. And when we are dead to sin, we're looking at statements that are made in Ephesians chapter 2, before we were saved, we were dead in sins, and statements that are made in Romans, I believe it's chapter 5, that says that we who are dead to sin should live no longer in sin. So when we look at that, I believe this girl was probably a saved girl. And when a saved person dies, it's like sleeping. I've mentioned that before. It's not the soul that sleeps, it's the body that sleeps, and it awaits the resurrection of the Lord. But the soul is still conscious, or we could say the soul and spirit, whatever that thing is that is eternal, the real person that was within that body, which was a container, that's still conscious. And I think this girl had settled her issue of sin with the Lord. I think she was a forgiven gal. I think she was saved. But at the same time, she needed to be healed. And so the Lord came, and you'll notice that he healed her just by speaking to her. And the thing that I find interesting about these two passages is the simple way in which the healing took place. You'll notice that the woman, she just touched the Lord, and she was healed. Now, there were people thronging about the Lord and probably jostling him, but that was not a touch of faith. And the Lord knew somebody had touched him and had touched him because they believed in him. He could discern that. And so she just touched the Lord. And I'm a firm believer in the fact that when we are saved, the real issue is, have we made contact with the Lord? Are we looking to the Lord for our blessing? Are we still looking to ourselves or some man or some system for blessing? I think in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, it says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And this woman touched the Lord. We can try to come up with all kinds of formulas for getting that done, but this is a personal thing between an individual and God. And when a person who realizes their need and realizes that only the Lord can meet that need, comes to the Lord and touches him, makes contact with him, that person is going to be blessed. And in a spiritual way, that person is going to be saved. We can't put that in a box. And so when we look at this woman, she had touched the Lord. We would normally touch the Lord today, not through visions, not through miracles. We would touch the Lord by reading his word and realizing that he's speaking directly to us, that he's there, available, and that when he says that Christ died for the ungodly, that he's speaking to us. So this woman touched the Lord. And when she touched the Lord, that touch of faith brought her in contact with the one who could save. We can't save ourselves, but the Lord can save. And the Lord immediately knew that virtue had gone out of him and that somebody had been blessed. Knew that immediately. And this woman, of course, not understanding all that had happened, was afraid that she had done something wrong, but she had done nothing wrong. She had done everything right. And so that was a simple thing that brought her into contact with the Lord. And it's the same way with Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. When that maid was raised from the dead, she just heard the voice of the Lord say, "Maid, arise." And it's so important that we understand that when God speaks, it's the voice of God that is speaking. And when we read the Word of God, we're reading the very Word of God itself. I asked children in some children's meetings recently, why should we believe the Word of God? Why should we believe it is the Word of God? Well, I said, when we read any other book and it has the author on the front page, we don't question who that author is. We believe that if Mark Twain wrote something, that he wrote it. If we believe that if an author wrote something, that he wrote it. We don't spend a lot of time arguing about that. And in the Bible, we read that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, is profitable. It's the word of God. But more than that, when we start out in Genesis, it says, "And God said," and either God did say or God didn't say. And I believe God did say, and the word of God is the way in which the Lord Jesus is presented to us. And this maid heard the Lord speak, "Maid, arise," and she arose straightway. The power is in the word, and you want to believe what God has said. He has said that we are in need of a miracle. We're in need of the new birth. We're in need of salvation. And if we would just reach out and touch the Lord by believing what he has said, if we would just hear his voice by believing what he has recorded in the Bible, we would be blessed. We would be saved. And our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. We pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened. Some have different kinds of problems, but we all need thee, and we just pray that you will bless us even today as we commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.